WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively headed to Los Angeles. I got my sunglasses like Tony Siragusa did 20 years ago. We're headed to LA, to California. We're going to Los Angeles. We'll be doing Super Bowl 56 Radio Row, all of it brought to you by our good friends at the Maryland Lottery. We'll be letting ourselves play, as well as our friends at Wise Markets and the Wise Conversations, getting you ready for Valentine's Day with those giant strawberries and the dark chocolate. And I'm stuck in LA. I'm sending them to my wife on Wise to go. Don, we love having leaders on the show. I think the whole reason we started this was, you thought it was about PR and politics. I thought it was about politics and like the city. But really, we love having this has turned into a leadership thing, you and I, right?
Without a doubt. You don't get a more established or respected leader than our guest today, Augie Chesser, the president of the Greater Baltimore Chesapeake region of M&T Bank. Hopefully, what will be the first of regular updates.
What are we thinking? Greater Baltimore Chesapeake. Wait, give me that title again.
That's a fancy way of saying Maryland, okay?
You're new to the party.
All right, Don, I hear you.
I've never had a title in my life. Don was my high school guidance counselor in 1982. And then he became the vice principal and the principal and the county executive and all. I've never had a title. So I always say the best title, certainly in government, is chief. If you get to be a police chief, you get to be a fire chief. You know, love that. That's a title, right?
Well, you can call our guest Mr. President then.
Augie suffices. Are way overrated.
Look, we come at this honest. People know who you are and the association. And by the way, just for you, I'm wearing my State Fair shirt because I'm taking my wife there for the Portales meal on Valentine's night.
Okay.
But look, I'm never far away from having
Thank you, Nestor.
I got like a purple bird underneath, but like you're wearing your lavender and all of that.
I got purple on today. That's right. You're always waving the Ravens flag.
Obviously it wasn't the season we wanted, but your association, certainly in Baltimore, maybe more than anything. I mean, I've sold sports marketing for 31 years, my 31st year here, but you're all in as a company with the Ravens has become this thing that, quite frankly, you'll laugh at this because I was cleaning out the radio station. I found an old PSI net. You know, I'm like, been a little while since then. I mean, you're wearing purple in the relationship. When people think of your bank in Baltimore, better, worse, good or bad, the relationship with the Ravens has really been something.
It is. But I think, you know what, Nestor, I think it goes beyond just our relationship to the Ravens. It's our relationship to Baltimore overall. And that's the connection that I think we've made here locally. And that's why folks affiliate and associate the Ravens so much with M&T. It's because of our commitment here to Baltimore.
Talk about that as a corporate philosophy, Augie, because I think that's when we talk Baltimore Positive. One of the things that I hear, and you're very involved in all that Greater Baltimore Committee and all that stuff. One of the things that those folks always tell us is we need the corporate community to be more involved. I guess first question is, you obviously agree with them, and then tell our listeners why that matters.
Sure. Well, look, I mean, I moved here when the bank acquired the old First National Bank of Maryland, Allfirst, because we understood corporately that if you're going to be in the community, it means you need to live here in the community. Because to be a banker, it means to be a part of the community, and that's a big part of who we are and what it means. And the important part of at least how I see my role and how M&T sees its role here is about engaging deeply with the community on those issues that they care deeply about. And that runs the gamut from, you know, social activities like sports and the Ravens and so on, business activities, making sure that this is an economically vibrant community, and also social activities to make sure that those that need help, we're there to help support. And so it's really a combination of all three of those. And you don't really understand it and appreciate it unless you live here.
I guess intellectually, I remember when the bank came, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I've been friends with Ed Hale since I was a kid, and he's running First Mariner, and all of the Bramble and the, you know, all the Baltimore old line you know, quite frankly, the people that got the Ravens here, quite frankly, the people that kept the Orioles here and Bill Campbell. I mean, I remember all that from the journalism side because I worked at the newspaper in the 80s. But M&T came in. No one really knew what it was, Buffalo Bank or whatever. But then you have to establish that you're a Baltimore bank, right? Like that right. is the initial challenge for anyone that's new, especially to a – we're a little provincial around here, Aug. You know that. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm wearing a Catonsville shirt and I get hell on the east side of Baltimore for not wearing my Dundalk, you know, because it's just the way it is. But you came here. Give me a timeline of when you got here, because it does feel to me like I remember when M&T were just alphabet letters, right? Like I didn't know it as a bank.
Oh, I remember that too. Right. And it's so much fun because I was in the ground here back in 2002 and 2003. So we made the announcement in 2002, and I started showing up here in Maryland toward the end of that year. And we ended up consummating the merger on April 1st, 2003. And
it speaks volumes that 19 years later, right? I mean, you're still here. Right. So it worked. Whatever it was, it's working, right?
Yeah. And it I'll tell you, and this is a compliment, is the values of M&T around commitment to community, hard work, a source of local pride, are very consistent with the really the ethics of the Baltimore community and what it means to be a Baltimorean. And it was amazing to me, and I can remember it very clearly, thinking about this, because it looked from 300 something miles away, you're not sure what Baltimore is. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to be coming into a town that is, it's large. It's going to have a heavy East Coast kind of feel to it, and it's not going to recognize or value the importance of relationship. And I will tell you, within 2 to 3 days of being on the ground here, meeting with colleagues, nothing could have been further from the truth.
You found Buffalo, right? Just a little further south?
Yeah, a little. That's a lot further south, about 300 miles south.
And
the weather's certainly a lot nicer. But the similarities culturally are remarkable, and it fits us really well. And I hope that we're doing what we can to make this community a better place.
Well, one of the things, and we'll get into the Buffalo, your Buffalo roots. You're obviously dying wool Ravens fan. I assume you grew up along with Tim Russert and the Russert family. Every week on Meet the Press, we had to get the Buffalo Bills update. So I'm assuming you grew up a Bills fan.
Yeah, well, I absolutely grew up a Bills fan. It's funny you mentioned Tim Russert. So you talk about the similarities between the two towns. So back in Western New York, there's a big Jesuit school where Tim Russert went to school called Canisius. And there's a big Christian Brothers school where I went to school called St. Joe's. And so you show up here show up in Baltimore, and all of a sudden you've got Loyola and you've got Calvert Hall. So the similarities run pretty deep.
I don't green room anyone, right? And Dom will tell you it's the thing I hate the most. 31 years of the radio, we don't do the show twice. We do it once, right? Yeah. Some notes or whatever. He's a school teacher. He sends me. I didn't know where you were from. So before we went on, I said, where are you from? And you said North Tonawanda. And I even know how to pronounce it because I've been to your hometown. So,
no way.
No, this is true. So back in the, like, maybe 06, 07, 08, in that era, it was the Kyle Bowler era because it was before Flacco got here. How about that? So I got my first camera and we had our first YouTube channel. You can go watch this video if you want. Wow. I was shooting videos everywhere I went because I was a radio guy. People didn't know what I looked like. The internet is 15 years ago. So I went to Buffalo. The Ravens played. And, you know, I've been to Buffalo a lot, a whole lot. So I know my way around pretty well. I have friends in Cheektowaga, Depew, Amherst, the whole deal,
look
right?
At you. Name so, drop.
So, no,
you guys,
man.
Go ahead.
I've eaten a lot of Polish food. I've eaten a lot of wings at the Anchor Bar, you know, I even know about Mulligan's Brick Bar and like the old school stuff.
You don't know about
the
Mulligan.
Rock Pile. I know. So here's the deal. I go up and I was told by Mike Resigliano, who is not even a Buffalonian, but the most famous Buffalonian that Moeller and I know. And he said, there's a place called Nestor's Red Hots up in this town called North. And my name's Nestor. You know, they're Nestor's a tough name, right? So we go up to North Tonawanda and we go to Nestor's Red Hots, and I got a hat. He's out of business now. It was an ice cream shop, and it was a little Greek sort of ice cream, hot dog, deli, old school little diner. And yeah. I went there, and your town is the town of the carousel. Tell yes. everybody about the carousel.
Look right? at the carousel, otherwise known as a merry-go-round, basically.
They have a museum there, Don. And I had proper beef on weck. I had a Labatt's. Yeah. You know, I did it all. I did it all for you. So I've been to your hometown. It wasn't dissimilar to Dundalk or Catonsville or Parkville. I mean, Buffalo was very much like Baltimore, yeah?
Absolutely, which is why this felt like home. Like, hey, this is great. You know, because folks always ask me, they said, they'll always say, hey, so where's your favorite spot to get wings in Baltimore? And I said, well, that's kind of like asking somebody from Buffalo where their favorite spot is to get crab cakes. It's like, right. you don't eat crab in Buffalo. You don't right. eat wings in Baltimore.
How did we not get him on the crab cake tour, Donnie? What's going on? How did we not get him on the crab cake tour?
Well, we'll have him on the crab cake tour. But I love that point. We say never a straight line on Baltimore positive. What's the difference between real buffalo wings in Buffalo and what we pretend to eat here?
Sure. They get hotter in Buffalo, and they're crispier. So when you bite into them, it's not like kind of rubbery and gelatinous. And they're, you know, I guess you can barbecue wings and have like, you know, Old Bay on your wings, but for me, it's Frank's hot sauce.
I've always wanted to have you on the program, but talk about rubbery, gelatinous wings from Buffalo.
Well, at least Augie points out that I'm on the right track when I order mine extra crispy. So yes. at least I'm trying to
Augie,
do
when
right
I order
thing.
A fried crab cake, they freak out around here. And in Dundalk, we were poor. So we got like claw meat and fried it up with a bunch of Old Bay. And then I get these nice, you know, Gucci crab cakes with the yeah. back fin and the jumbo and delicately prepared, broiled and all that. Augie Chiusera is here. He runs things at M&T Bank, and I've got my Ravens gear on underneath. But from a banking perspective and all that we've been through, and listen, yeah. I have disparaged my corporate bank for 15 years that I still have to be stuck in business with. And I've taken care of some local banks, but I have had an awful banking experience through a big bank. And when PPPs happen and loans happen and things get tight and the world changes over, yeah. I've been in business 31 years, man, who you bank with is so important.
Matters.
And finding right. them and having a guy or a girl or a person or someone that cares about you. I want you to speak to that because I'm not even going to mention the bank that I bank with, but you could probably guess that I had banked with. And I found some other local alternatives, and I see your ads and what you've done for local banks and different things. Make the pitch for your bank and for how important a bank is, because I think through PPP and being a business owner as I am, yeah. it was literally a nightmare for me dealing with the situation I was in until I found relief through someone who's here, quite frankly.
I mean, to me, it's about relationships, commitment, and community. And it's funny. I'll tell you a story that still to this day amazes me. So if someone were to call my phone and I'm sitting here, I answer it. I say, you know, hello, welcome to M&T Bank. This is Augie. And the person on the other end of the phone usually says, well, geez, Augie, I didn't like expect you to pick up the phone. I said, well, I'm sort of sitting here. And when I'm at home and my phone rings, I answer the phone there. And I think of this in the same way. And it's my job, and it's all of our bankers' jobs here in Baltimore to make sure that they're there to pick up the phone and that we're in business to support them. And
you know, Augie, that is so fascinating. My son, who recently sold Nestor's condo, has owned, I guess it's 20 years now, Moeller and Gary Realtors. And the one thing, it's so interesting you say that. And I want our folks out there, particularly young folks who are beginning a career, to hear what Augie just said. The one thing I hear when I run into my son's customers over and over again is they'll say, it's amazing. He always picks up the phone right away. He always picks up, and I'm thinking, well, don't all realtors or don't all bankers?
Obviously I don't even know that he sold my condo because I only text him. I've never called him.
Right. Always picks up the phone.
There you go. And look, and I think it matters, and it's a good sort of proxy for being there when, you know, when someone needs us. And you don't realize how important that relationship is until you need it.
Well, talk about that, Augie.
Because of the work.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
you know, we end up getting engaged with families and individuals at very stressful times in their lives. They're exciting, right? You're buying your first car, you're getting a home, you're starting a business. But there's a lot of emotion that's tied up in that. And being able to be steady and predictable and there when your clients need you is what we try and do.
Well, let's build out on that, because one of the things that I'm thinking, and you're going to tell me if it's true and examples, I'm thinking that banking over the past 2 years has been an incredible undertaking, that banking in a pandemic cannot have been easy. Put a face on that for our listeners.
Yeah, well, this is the face that I've been putting on for the last 2 years, Don, because it's all been via Zoom.
Right.
And it's been, you know, it's interesting. So we, you know, over the course, because we are a people business and we're a relationship business, and you don't build the kind of connections that is important to our business by doing it remotely. In fact, I would argue that part of the reason why we've been so successful over the past couple of years, particularly with programs like PPP, the technology worked awesome. But beyond the technology, we had relationships with one another that extends really decades. And it's building off that relationship that was built that allowed us to execute in this virtual environment so effectively. But boy, it has been difficult. And, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing how much people want to get back together once they are back together. Our lunches now that used to be scheduled for an hour go on for an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes, because it's been so long since we've had the chance to talk to somebody in person and see facial expressions, see facial expressions and responses and so on.
You know, Freeman Hrabowski said early on to us when we had Freeman on right at the beginning of the pandemic, we said, what do you look forward to the most? And it's so interesting, Augie. He said, when the mask can come off and I can see my students smile again.
Right.
He was longing for that person, when I can see my students smile again. Augie, how difficult and how do decisions get made regarding people all over the state who came to you either with mortgage payments or car payments or small business loans, and they said, man, we don't want to default, but we just can't do it right now for a couple. How do you all make those decisions? Can you sort of shine a light on that for us?
And it's no magic, Don. It's what Nestor said before. It's knowing the people you're doing business with and having a conversation and discussion and finding a solution. It's that simple. And
well, that wasn't easy then, right? I mean, I've owned a business long enough to have been through the crash in 09, 8 and 9, and seeing the backside of all of that, and also just being a small business owner, fighting with the Odysseys and the Walmarts of radio and what I've done over the last 30 years. But boy, the last 2 years has made relationship. The fact that if you had relationships, because it's hard to gain them. How do you gain them?
Well, you don't gain them in that. It's very difficult to gain in that time of stress. And we're blessed by having clients that have stayed with us for a number of years, and they're friends. And friends, I always find that friends and rational people can always find a good middle ground.
Well, the point that I guess I was making was that for someone who always paid his bills on time, once your boat gets rocked once in your life or twice in your life, and that first month in your life, my father stood in soup lines in Scranton, Pennsylvania, 1929. My dad was born in 1919. So he was a little leery of banks and money in the market. Like he had all of that pre-World War II built into him. And I was raised with it, but not believing in it. But you know, I was a kid that had a gig when I sold baseball cards and newspapers. I always made money. I worked at the paper. I hustled. This was my money. This was my bills. And it went like that. And then all of a sudden you take on 18 employees and you take on a $1.4 million note and you take on your mortgage goes from $4,600 a month to $18,500 a month. Yes. And you have employees with all sorts of issues. And like, so I went through all of that, but then there comes the point, I guess in all of this where the first month where things are really tight and you're like, how am I going to do this? And then you say, well, who's in this with me? Well, I owe the bank money. So the bank's in it with me. I wonder if I could call Augie. I wonder if I could call my guy after. And experiencing that with a multinational bank that didn't have a guy, didn't have a girl, didn't have an 800 number, couldn't find anybody, sending FedExes to you, but you can't find them. Like crazy stuff that happened during that period of time. Not just to me, to peers of mine, other people, that there's an emotional part of, man, I'm having trouble paying my bills that a lot of people, and I'm 53 years old, there haven't been a whole lot of nights in my life where I couldn't pay my bills. But when that happens from a leadership standpoint, the bank's the first person you call. I mean, literally, it has to be because that's who you're doing business with every single day.
And you have a conversation and a discussion. Say, okay, what are we going to do? And
Augie, in the middle of this, I was not in the middle, you know, just recently, I was struck by coming, you know, hopefully coming out of pandemic, was really struck by some articles that appeared that said M&T makes commitment to open, I think the number was 17, you'll correct me, multicultural banking centers around the state. And I thought, wow, you know, you always hear about underserved communities and you hear corporations give lip service to making a difference. M&T is opening multicultural banking centers.
Yep.
Educate us. What are they and why did you choose to do it?
Sure. It's funny. We actually started that program about 3 years ago here. And we started with three locations. And there was a real interest on the part of the neighborhood and the community to engage with us more deeply. What's fascinating is we've always fashioned ourselves as a community bank, which means you live and work where you live and work and go to school and you know that you know your clients and all those kinds of pieces. And what's become pretty clear to us is we can even take that a step further and understanding that our communities are changing around us from a demographic perspective and how we show up in our physical locations and who shows up in our physical locations and how we interact with our communities. It isn't as much about being a community bank. It's about being a bank for the communities and hearing very clearly about what it is that they need and want and who they want to be serviced by. Simple things like, you know, having branch and teller personnel that speak in a native language that resonates with the community. And there's a way for us to connect more deeply than that, much like you did when you sort of rattled off a bunch of communities up in Western New York and one of the favorite spots I used to go to at NT. There's a connection that can be made when you speak the same language and you know the individuals because we're hiring from those communities as well. It makes a big difference. And it gets back to really the basics of banking. How I joined M&T back in 1993. So this is the only place I've ever worked, and I know how important it is when you bank someplace and you open your doors for business that you're there. I'm an owner operator. That's how I view it. That's how our bankers view it, and that makes a big difference.
But you mentioned opening doors, and that was the first. First off, y'all are bankers. You've always kept bankers hours. So, you know, it's like there's always been a little bit of what time can I get there? And then there was I can't get there at all. Right. And everything was closed, which really speaks back to 2 years ago in PPP and business owners. The culture you have in your business, and I think, and I see it with my wife and what she does every day too, because she's worked from home through all of this and teachers, parents, everybody dealing with all of this. But from a banking perspective, when your doors are no longer open and they can't walk in, the phone and the Zoom is all that you have. But for you running all of these different employees with different baud rates and speed and technology, trying to service people 2 years ago. Speak to that because you've been at the bank a long time. All of these people you know really well. Then the bomb goes off and we all have to work from home and the branches are things that you probably never could have considered as a challenge, as even a potential fire drill challenge.
So, Nestor, a couple of things. Let's just set the record straight. Our branches were open throughout the entire pandemic. So we have 91 branches in Baltimore. You know, our employees that staff those branches were there physically to support our customers. And they stayed open throughout the entire pandemic. Did we have to, you know, maybe change our servicing model a bit because there was an outbreak of COVID in one particular branch, which required enhanced cleaning, which meant we had to move folks for a day or two into another location? Absolutely. But it was a real important part of our commitment to the community and the city that our branches remain open. And I am so thankful for our M&T bankers that showed up every day through this pandemic to take care of the communities and the customers that needed us.
Well, if you were my bank, you were essential.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why we were allowed to remain open. The biggest impact culturally was on the corporate side. You know, folks that sit in offices and you're dealing primarily with commercial clients or other folks that don't need to have the physical branch location to transact business with you. That's where it's been the biggest issue. There have been some positives. I think we've realized that you know, being in the office 8 to 5 or 8 to 6, 5 days a week probably isn't necessary to transact in a really good way. So that's kind of, and I think we've been able to, you know, we've always had, you know, flexible work arrangements. It's become, I think, a lot more culturally acceptable now to sort of practice in those sort of hybrid ways. And so all that I view is being very positive. My biggest concern has to do with culture and how we maintain this culture of simple things like getting back to your clients and answering the phone and doing all the basics that differentiate us from a lot of the other competitors in this market. And it's a cultural piece that we're pretty intent on making sure that we maintain. We've been able to do it because of how long we've worked together before that. But as this pandemic continues, we need to find new ways to maintain that culture.
I think when I went on my rant about PPPs and my bank and all that, I guess the issue was the humanity and some level of compassion, you know, just like that I didn't get, that still angers me, you know, when you're making these payments to the bank every month and then you call and you can't find someone. When you do find someone, it's just so important. How many employees are under 93 branches, you said? 90?
We have 91 branches.
91.
We have
Augie, you broke up there. Can you repeat that for me, pal?
We have 91 branches and roughly 2,000 employees in the Baltimore market.
Wow. Wow.
That's a lot of people to get Ravens tickets for.
big operation. Hey, Augie, the Fed is going to be, has been in and is going to be so much in the news, even for a casual observer, someone who flips by CNBC occasionally. Can you tell the average guy and gal on the street why the Fed matters to them and how it filters down to your bank?
Sure. I mean, the Fed matters because they set interest rates, and they'll try and project sort of where they want to go with interest rates. But at the end of the day, the Fed makes decisions about interest rates, and interest rates and the way that impacts the individual borrower is as interest rates go up. On the positive side, they should see an increase in the rates that they would earn on deposits or certificates of deposit, CDs or traditional checking deposits. The downside of it is they'll also begin to see an increase in lending rates. You know, a bank like M&T is pretty straightforward. We take deposits and provide interest for the deposits that customers give us, and we turn around and turn them into loans, both consumer loans and business loans. And the difference between what we charge in a loan and what we pay in a deposit is what ends up being the profit margin for a bank.
Terrific. Hey, I understand as a Buffalo guy, you might actually know the new governor of New York, who's a Buffalo gal. Is that true?
Kathy Hochul, who is the governor of New York State. Which you may not know, she graduated law school. Well, here's what I can tell you. She worked at M&T. And so I knew Kathy extremely well, and she had gone to law school at Catholic University, and I got one up on you, Don. She worked at Miles and Stockbridge.
Augie, we're having a little bit of a technical problem with you on your audio side, and I know our window's getting short as well. We've really enjoyed having you on, and really appreciate it. And we'll talk about Kathy and the governor of New York and all that stuff we get back on, but I think our – let's try it again. I think we've lost Augie.
Yeah, I don't know. Can you hear us?
Yeah. We're going to wrap things up. Augie, really appreciate it. I want to send everybody out. M&T Bank, obviously sponsoring the Ravens and being a big, big part of the community. And Augie Chiasera out on the front of all of this stuff. On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Mohler, I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.